Right, okay. Who gets excited about this? Am I the only one? Come on, who gets excited about the sales? Yeah, good. There's a few people who are with me this morning. Right, anybody get a bargain? Anybody wearing one of their bargains this morning? Excellent, yes, yeah, but if you're waving hands. I got a new shirt. Only when I was doing some ironing last night, and I was ironing this shirt, I discovered five other white shirts in the ironing basket. Am I the only one who does that? Buys what we've already got? No? It's obviously me. It's obviously me. But anyway, I hadn't realised I had five other white shirts already. I need to get rid of some stuff. So, it's lovely to get a bargain. And we all like the sales. Well, I think most of us like the sales. I don't like the crowds. I wouldn't be queuing up at Next at 5 a.m. or whatever. But we like a bargain. But you know what? The shops aren't really doing that for our benefit. They're not really thinking about me when they put their sale signs up. What they're wanting to do is get rid of the old to make room for the new. They're getting rid of what isn't profitable to make room for what is. You know, and I believe that there's a message in that for us today. What is profitable? What's the definition of profitable? Well, things that bring results, things that are advantageous to us. They give gain. They give a result. They produce something. So, what are the things in our lives that are profitable, that are producing good stuff? And are there things in our lives that perhaps aren't as profitable, that aren't really producing anything, or maybe are actually harmful to us? So last week, Paul was talking about our spiritual bucket list. He was talking about us pressing into those things that God has for us, taking hold of the promises of God, taking hold of those things that God has spoken over our lives, moving forward into everything that God wants to give us. Not looking back, but looking forward. It's not that we forget the past. It's really important that we are grateful, and we've been thinking about that again this morning, that we are so grateful for what God has done. And our testimony, as Paul said last week, is a stepping stone for us moving into the things that God has for us. But you know, you and I know that if we spend a lot of time looking backwards, we'll walk into things. It's not really a good way of moving forward, is it? Excuse me, I'm still a little bit croaky. So, I wonder, when you look back over last year, what you think? Good times? Challenging times? Difficult times? Disappointments, maybe? Bless you. Successes? What are you expecting this year? Have you thought about it? What am I expecting this year? Well, it might be, as Paul said last week, there might be particular things that you know are going to happen this year. You might be changing your job or moving house or, I don't know, there might be things that you've already got planned. But you know, actually, none of us know what tomorrow will bring, do we? And I am so grateful that I know a man who does. And that my life is in his hands. But you know, I think that having a sense of expectation, having a sense of looking forward, is a really positive thing. Having a goal, someone once said that if you aim at nothing, you'll probably get there. And you know, if we don't have something that we're working towards, that we're aiming towards, that we're progressing towards, how do we know when we're moving forward? How do we know? What is the motivation and the impetus to move forward? So what are you believing for this year? Do you believe that there's more? More to grasp, more to understand, more of Jesus to know, more to love, more to believe, more power to experience, more strength for daily life. Anybody want more? Yeah? Maybe there's specific promises that you're hanging on to that you haven't yet seen fulfilled in your life, or prophetic things that have been spoken over you. I hope that every person here has something in their hearts that they're saying, God, I want more. I want more. And it might be just a really small thing, or it might be a really big thing, but whatever it is, I believe that God wants us to take hold of more. And I am really, I don't know about you, but I am really excited about what God is doing amongst us. You know, I believe we've been seeing some amazing things this year, and God has been doing things in us as a church and in individuals, I know, in this place, and we have been moving into new levels of his presence with us. We've been seeing things that have been happening amongst us that are exciting. But I believe there's more. One or two? I believe there's more. But what gets in the way? And I really felt that, you know, today I just wanted to share with you and encourage us all that sometimes we need to take stock of what's in our life that's not profitable. What needs to go to make room for more? To make room for what God wants to give us, to make room for the new things that God wants to do amongst us. You know, if you've got your arms full of bags, you can't take hold of anything else, can you? You know, and if you're carrying all that stuff and somebody offers you something, you're going to have to drop something to pick it up. And I do believe that there may be some things this morning that God wants to speak to us about. So I'm going to pray. Lord, I thank you that you are so interested in each one of us, that you love each one of us so much, that you have more for us, that you have a heart that wants to bless us, that wants us to grow, that wants to give us more, that wants us to help us to experience more of you, to move into more that you have for us. But God, I know that in my life, and I believe in my brothers and sisters here this morning, sometimes there's some stuff that can get in the way. Sometimes, Lord, we know that there are things in our lives that aren't helping us in our walk with you, that gets in the way. And God, we want to give you permission this morning to speak to us. Lord, we choose to open our ears this morning to listen to what you want to say. I pray that every single one of us this morning will hear you speaking into our hearts, and that we will take hold of that and be able to step into whatever you're saying to us this year. In Jesus' name. Amen. Right. Now this was working, but it's obviously not. Oh, there we go. Right, so Ephesians 4, 22 to 24 in the Message version. Everything, and I do mean everything, connected with the old way of life has to go. It's rotten through and through. Get rid of it. And then take on an entirely new way of life. A God-fashioned life. A life renewed from the inside and working itself into your conduct as God accurately reproduces his character in you. Can I ask for those lights to go off either side of the screen? Because I can't actually see it. That would be really good. Thank you. So when we come to Jesus, we are made new. We are born again. We are brought out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. We are brought into the family of God. Thank you. There's a transformation that takes place. That happens instantly in the spiritual realm. But you and I know that in the natural, physical realm, there's a bit of catching up to do. Yeah? So our lives are in a process of transformation. We are created in the image of God. That's what the Bible tells us. Created in the image of God. The problem is that that image has got messed up with the stuff that we've experienced, the stuff of the world, the sin, the stuff that we've done. That image has become distorted or marred. It's a bit like If you're a sculpture and you sculpture a beautiful statue, which is an image of a person, and then that statue gets buried in the ground and it gets trampled on and it gets dirty and mucky, when you dig it up again, it's not going to look much like the original, is it? And that's a bit like our lives. You know, we've got messed up. We don't look like the original anymore. And actually what God wants to do is to clean us up so we look more like he intended. We become more like Jesus. So our lives can have those things in them that are distorting that image. And God wants to help us by helping us get rid of the rubbish, getting rid of the dirt, getting rid of all that stuff that's really not helpful, so that then we can take on an entirely new way of life, a God-fashioned life, a life renewed from the inside out, so that God can reproduce his character in us. Is that what you want this morning? God to reproduce his character in you? So, who's struggling to find space for everything after Christmas? Who's bought more storage boxes? Yeah? Who's been trying to fit things in cupboards? Anybody been to the charity shop already? Yeah? Okay. It's always a problem, isn't it? And I remember, particularly when the children were small, trying to find spaces for everything. And I remember we were quite creative in our space, use of space. We loved IKEA. We still love IKEA for storage solutions. But I remember I had a revelation one day when we were talking about how could we make more space. And I actually said, you know what? I think that rather than trying to make more space to store stuff, we need to get rid of something. Wow! What a revelation! You know, we try and hang on to stuff. We try and make space for stuff, and our homes are bulging. But actually, our lives can be a bit like that, can't they? You know, we hang on to things. We have stuff that actually perhaps isn't that helpful to us. Or maybe it's not as helpful as it was. Maybe at one point it was good, but now it's not so good. It's not so helpful. So what are the kind of things that might be in our lives that are unhelpful? Well, it might be wrong thinking, patterns of behavior. It might be to do with unforgiveness or old wounds and things that haven't healed. Maybe things that we're doing, activities that we're involved with that aren't so helpful, or relationships that we have. It can be anything that really gets in the way of us becoming more like Jesus. And we're not always aware of those things because we've had them for so long. You don't always see the rubbish in your own home, do you? Kind of, it's familiar. It's there. It's just part of the house. I remember last year we had a crack in our windscreen, and we had to have the windscreen replaced. I couldn't believe it. It was so clean. This new windscreen. I hadn't realised how dirty the old windscreen was, even though we'd washed the car occasionally, you know, and you use your windscreen wipers. The windscreen, honestly, you could see everything. And I think, you know, what happens is our lives can be a bit like that. We don't realise how dirty, how messed up, how obscured, if you like, distorted things become. And sometimes we find that we're looking at ourselves and we're looking at the world and we're looking at God through a grubby windscreen. We have a distorted image. And maybe our own attempts to clean it up haven't really got us back to the cleanliness that it could be. And maybe we just accept that that's kind of life. That's part of who we are. I was just like that. For years and years and years, I struggled with feeling unlovable. I didn't feel that anybody could love me. I didn't even really feel that God could love me. But I knew all the Bible verses about love, and I could quote them to you, and I could tell them you with conviction that God loved you. But I didn't really believe that he loved me, except that perhaps if he did, it was because he had to, because he'd said he would. Does that make sense? Not really because he wanted to, but just because, well, you know, I love everybody. You're all my people. So it's kind of that kind of love. But he certainly didn't like me. I was looking at myself and God and the world through a dirty windscreen. I had a distorted image. And it wasn't until, really, because I just kind of accepted, well, you know, that's something that I struggle with. That's kind of a part of me. It's just who I am. And it wasn't until God showed me, you know what, Wendy, that's not right. I don't want that for you. I've got something better for you. I want you to know my love. I want you to experience my love. I want you to believe that you are lovable, that people can love you, that I love you. And then I prayed and I was set free from that. And God changed my life and changed how I thought. He cleaned up my windscreen. But you know what? I believe that there are other people here and you've got a dirty windscreen. You know, you may have believed some stuff about yourself that's actually not true. You believe some stuff about yourself. You believe some stuff about God that actually isn't true and is distorting your view of yourself and God and other people. And God wants to help you clean up that windscreen. Last year, Daryl was speaking a lot about our identity in Christ, who we are in Christ. You know, and if we have a distorted image of ourselves and of God, we're not going to be able to grasp fully who our identity is in Christ, who we really are. Daryl spoke about Gideon. And Gideon had a very different view of himself, didn't he, than God had of him. Gideon believed he was weak, ineffective, powerless. He was a nobody of no use to God. But what did God say? God saw him as a mighty warrior with the capacity to defeat the enemy, to experience victory. Do you believe that about yourself this morning? Do you believe that you are a mighty warrior in God this morning? You don't look like it. You are. Do you look, when you see yourself in the mirror, do you say, that's a mighty warrior for God? I know you do, Chris. We don't, do we? And let's be honest, most of us don't feel like it most of the time, but that's the truth. And if we're not believing the truth about ourselves, then we're not going to be able to move into everything that God has for us. You know, as I was preparing this, I wanted to be really honest with myself because I always apply everything to myself first because God's always speaking to me as much as he is speaking, I hope, to anybody else. But I started examining what the lies are that I've believed, the things that I struggle with. And it was things like, and I'm hoping there may be some other people who also struggle with the same issues, but things like, oh, God won't do that for you. Yeah? You're not spiritual enough for God to use you. God's not going to answer your prayers. There are plenty of other people better than you. God can use them. Anybody identify with any of this? You're just not good enough. Now, they're all lies. If I believe those, what will happen to my spiritual life? I'm not going to pray. I'm not going to try to do anything for God. I'm going to take a back seat. I'm going to let everybody else carry on with what they're doing, and I'm just going to stay out of it. I'm not going to press into anything different and new. If I want to move forward, I've got to face up to the rubbish. I've got to face up to those things that are getting in the way and ask Jesus to help me to get rid of it. In Nehemiah, we read about the Jews rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. So they had been taken into exile, captive by their enemies, and they were taken away to another land, and the walls of Jerusalem had been broken down in the attack, and Nehemiah was given permission to go back and help rebuild the walls. But they had opposition from the enemy, from enemies around who didn't want them to build the walls. But I just want us to have a look at, it's working now, yep. Nehemiah 4 verse 10. Meanwhile, the people in Judah said, the strength of the laborers is giving out, and there is so much rubble that we cannot rebuild the wall. Now that word rubble in the Hebrew just means literally rubbish, debris, ashes. There was rubble. There was stuff that was getting in the way of them rebuilding the wall. And that rubbish, that rubble, was basically the remains of the past. It was the old wall. Now, when the old wall had been up, it was great. But it was a pile of rubbish now. Wasn't of use to anybody. The rubbish was preventing the rebuilding. Before the new wall could be built, the old had to go. the old rubble had to be removed. Now, Martin and I like watching gardening programs because we've reached that kind of age now. And one of the programs we like to watch is Garden Rescue. Anybody watch Garden Rescue? No, we're the only people watch Garden Rescue. Okay. Well, no one else is admitting it. It's not that bad. Anyway, well, Garden Rescue is a program where basically members of the public actually pay for people to come in and to come and do their gardens. And but they have a couple of different people who kind of pitch their designs to them based on what they've asked for. Anyway, very often when they come in, there'll be an old patio, okay? And they're going to build something new. So they have to break up the old. But what they do, because they're on a budget, is they reuse the old patio or the old bits of concrete in order to be able to build on the new. So they use it as the hardcore to build the new patio or whatever else they're building. So they take the old, they don't leave it as it is because it's ugly. It's not, it's broken, it's just not right. But they make use of it in rebuilding something new and something beautiful. Now I believe that God can take the rubble of our past and he can make something beautiful out of it. You know, leaving it as it is isn't good to anybody. But when it's broken up and removed and then something new built on top of it, it's still there, still part of our lives. It's still part of our experience. But now it becomes something beautiful. Now it becomes something that God can build that's actually going to be good for us. Does that make sense? You know, and I believe there are people here today, and as Daryl gave that word earlier about the past, you know, the past has been, for you, it's an ugly patio. It's there. It's not what you want. It doesn't serve a function. It's not usable, but it's there, and it's ugly. And when you look at it, it's not nice. But you know what? If we'll allow God to come and remove it and build on it something that is beautiful, he will do that. And he will transform what has been painful and difficult and hard and build something that is good and beautiful and that you can be using. It's something that is going to be of benefit to you. And not just to you, but you can invite your friends around. You know, it's something that will be a blessing to others. Because that's what God, our God, does. He is a transforming God. One of the things that sometimes happens on these programs is that the people whose garden it is, they will say, well, I want to keep that bit, or I want to keep that. And obviously the designers have then got to work around it. And sometimes they've got this really ugly garden ornament, or gnome or something. Apologies if anybody's got a garden gnome. But, you know, something that's not particularly attractive, and they want to keep it. So they build this beautiful garden, and then they go and stick this old thing in it, because perhaps it's got some sentimental value, but just doesn't look right, doesn't fit. And if we're wanting to hold on to things, you know, the beauty of what God wants to build is just not the same. God wants to help us and transform our lives. And I'm not suggesting here that everything in our lives right now is wrong. I'm not suggesting that we've got to get rid of everything in our lives. Everything about ourselves is wrong. Not at all. But you know what I'm saying. You know that there are things in our lives that are just not good for us, that are holding us back. The Jews could have wanted to hold on to those broken down walls. They could have said, oh, the memories. I remember that stone that was built outside my house. You know, I remember it fondly. There's nothing wrong with remembering, but we don't live on our memories. We don't even live on the successes of the past because God has more for us. I know that there will be people here and some of those flattened stones will represent disappointments. They'll represent things that have gone wrong. Things that have been really hard. But you know, This is the beauty of coming to Jesus, because he does what no one else can. The Bible talks about beauty from ashes. You know, God can do the transforming work in us that no one else can do. Whatever has been destroyed in your life, whatever has been broken down in your life, maybe it's your faith. Maybe it's your sense of hope. Maybe it's excitement or peace or joy or passion. Maybe you're not as passionate about Jesus as you used to be. God can rebuild. He can get rid of the rubble and build something beautiful if we work with him. Later on in Nehemiah, we read about Nehemiah finding out what has happened with the temple. I'm going the wrong way. Sorry, that's my fault. Okay, here we go. Nehemiah chapter 13. Before this, Eliashib the priest had been put in charge of the storerooms of the house of our God. He was closely associated with Tobiah, and he had provided him with a large room formerly used to store grain offerings and incense and temple articles, and also the tithes of grain, new wine and olive oil prescribed for the Levites, musicians and gatekeepers, as well as the contributions for the priests. But while all this was going on, I was not in Jerusalem, for in the 32nd year of Artaxerxes, king of Babylon, I had returned to the king. Sometime later, I asked his permission and came back to Jerusalem. Here I learned about the evil thing Eliashib had done in providing Tobiah a room in the courts of the house of God. I was greatly displeased and threw all Tobiah's household goods out of the room. I gave orders to purify the rooms, and then I put back into them the equipment of the house of God, with the grain offerings and the incense. Tobiah was one of the people, if you read earlier on in Nehemiah, was one of the people who had taunted the Israelites as they'd gone back to build the wall. And he'd threatened them, and he was an enemy. He was their enemy. But for some reason, even though he was an enemy, he was opposed to God, he wanted to destroy the Israelites, someone had given him a room in the temple. And he was using it for his own purposes. And that temple space should have been allocated to store things for the service of God. And it was being used by an enemy. Now, our lives, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, yes? What are we giving room to? Because if we're giving room to stuff that is not good for us, that is not profitable for us, that is stuff that the enemy wants to give us, that might be guilt or shame or condemnation, it might be apathy, it might be addictions, wrong attitudes, insecurities, fear, doubt. If we're giving room to those things, then we haven't got space for the presence of God to come and fill that room, fill that space. The Holy Spirit wants to point out to us those areas in our lives that are not right. But he does it in love. And that's why being secure in the love of God is really important. I quoted before from Milton Jones, "The Holy Spirit is a real person you can invite in. But watch out, in time he will go over to the fridge, pull it out from the wall and say, 'What's all this mess under here?' But at least he helps clear up." God loves us so much that he wants us to have lives that he can work with, that he can give us all that he wants for us. I spoke before on Hebrews 12 about throwing off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. You know, our lives are full of stuff. Our lofts are full of stuff, yeah? We actually aren't allowed to put anything in our loft, and I'm really pleased because it makes us really think very carefully about what we're going to hang on to. You know, when I think in our lives, that's not a bad principle, is it? What am I going to hang on to, and what am I going to let go? Am I going to hang on to those things that I know that are really helpful for me in my spiritual life and let go of the stuff that's not helpful? So, I want to round up because you know, I believe that Jesus wants us to be free. He wants us to be free of things that are going to get in the way. Free of things that prevent him from doing what he wants to do, what he can do in our lives. But also, we can become enslaved again by allowing that stuff back in. So Jesus has set us free. And when we come to Jesus, when we give our lives to Jesus, he sets us free. He cuts us off from that slavery to sin. We are no longer slaves to sin. We are no longer slaves to that old way of life. We're no longer under the influence of the enemy in that kingdom of darkness. But we have to make choices to stay in that position and to live in that position, to put on that new life that Jesus has given us. So we can become enslaved again. And it's important that staying close to Jesus is the way to stay free. It's not just about getting free, it's about staying free. And so staying close to Jesus means that we can be really careful about allowing that old stuff to come back in. It also means that we become very conscious of when other stuff starts to creep in. So Jesus is willing to help us with our clear out. If we want to move forward this year, I believe that there's much, much more for us to experience. I believe that there's more that God wants to do in our lives, and I hope that you do too. But I believe that for every one of us, there's a good time to take stock, to clear out some rubbish, to make room for what Jesus wants to give us and what he wants to do in our lives. Should we just pray? Lord, I pray that today you will speak into our hearts about those areas of our lives, Lord, that perhaps need adjustment, that need a clear out. Lord, I pray that right now you will, as we just quieten ourselves before you, that you will speak to us and show us those things that perhaps we need to deal with. Maybe we need to ask other people to help us to deal with that. But Lord, I pray that you will show us, God, give us a fresh excitement about what you can do in our lives, what you want to do in our lives, in our church, together and individually. That Lord, we will want to pursue you and want to pursue the freedom that you bring and want to pursue all that you have for us. Lord, I pray, God, help us because we want so much more. And we know you have so much more for us. Lord, I pray that if there's anything that I've said this morning that's not been of you, that it would just fade away. And God, those things that you want to speak into our hearts will remain and bring forth fruit, Lord. Amen.